Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tonight, what's the dealio? I love when it's all too much. 5 a.m. turn the radio up. Where's the rock and roll? Party crasher, penny snatcher.
And so I'm not gonna vote for these increases in the debt limit and these massive spending bills if we don't see some real cuts. And I don't like these horizontal cuts. Take 1% off of every agency. Take 2% off every agency. You know, that hurts our military. That hurts our veterans and our VA. That can hurt our homeland security and our border. So I'm not gonna go up there and vote. That's the easy thing, right? Just take 2% off everything. I want deep vertical cuts. I want to abolish the Federal Department of Education and the EPA and the Federal Department of Labor. These entities that exist only for the bureaucrat. I mean, the Department of Education is 8 stories high, takes up a whole city block, and doesn't educate a single kid.
This is, of course, our Congressman Matt Gaetz, U.S. House Representative for District 1 in Florida, talking in Jay on Friday about a variety of things. And, I thought he had kind of some interesting things to say about his desires when it comes to how they do the budgeting for federal agencies. And I hadn't heard him say this before, so it was, new to me. Now, I think I had heard him make this joke before, but, talking about the ATF.
Far too often, that is the thinking. And these agencies, they all want more power. And how do you get more power? You help your friends, and you punish your enemies. And that is what we are seeing far too often from the ATF. I tell them in Washington, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms is just a good weekend in Northwest Florida, not a need for a government agency.
That's a good line. I mean, it is a good line.
And true.
There you go. That's exactly right. But he had a broader point to make that, again, I had not heard him make before, and I thought it was interesting. You heard him talking about the idea of making a 2% or a 3% cut or a 1% increase across the board limit or something like that. There's no rationale behind that. It's like saying everything in the budget is great right now. Let's just keep the shape we've got, make it smaller or larger on that same shape. Well, no, some of these agencies, organizations, and departments do really important work and ought to get a greater share of the federal budget. Other agencies do terrible work or incompetent work and should be lesser funded or defunded entirely. And so his proposal is, instead of having a budget vote on the totality, why can't we vote on each individual department separately and find out whether, Congress wants to continue funding the Department of Education as it has, whether it wants to continue funding the Department of Defense as it has, and why not handle those separately instead of as a totality the way we do right now? And I know it'd be complicated from a budgetary perspective, but that I have long despised the way legislation gets done in D.C. And not because, there's corruption and there's pork and all that, although that's true. But I've long had the belief that much like you have single subject bills here in Florida, except for maybe the budget is the one place where that's not like that. But of course, the governor can come in and line item veto, right? That instead of that, what you ought to have is single subject bills. And frankly, I think that there ought to be a law or a policy, or a constitutional amendment. I don't care that a law shouldn't be more than 10 pages long. There is no reason to have 1,000-page laws. It's crazy. It makes it impossible for citizens, even legislators, to know what's happening, to have opinions about these things. But no, make every bill a single-subject bill and make it a maximum of 10 pages. I mean, shoot, the Declaration of Independence is what? One page. The Constitution is like 4 pages. I mean, small print. But, there's no reason that it has to be so big. But he said this, and I thought this was a really good point.
We're going to have votes on balanced budgets. Hey, instead of taking one vote up or down to fund every single agency of government, from the DOD to the VA to whatever crazy idea they have next, I want to take individual votes on individual agencies and programs, and I want to vote against the ones that don't work. rather than taking one vote on all of it.
I totally agree, because then you would find out that, well, no, this agency has a majority of great support, and then you'd be able to clearly identify what somebody did on each topic, you know, when you're trying to evaluate whether to elect them again. And then you would also have, well, no, I mean, there's a majority of us that think that that agency shouldn't be doing nearly as much incompetence as it's doing, and so we should defund that. And then you'd be able to evaluate. Because right now what happens is, you know, you vote for the whole budget. And then somebody says, well, why didn't you vote against that? And what they'll say is, well, you know, I had to take that in order to get this. Well, if you separated them out either by subject, as I'm saying, or by department, as he's saying, then you can really have accountability for the votes on those individual areas. And likely bring more accountability to those agencies because they'll know they can't get by on being part of the overall package. 437-1620, 437-1620, Candy, Scott, traffic on the fives.
It looks like there is an accident. This is on Highway 90, just south of I-10. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, just south of I-10 on Scenic Highway, rather. South lane is blocked. EMS is on scene. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, you can text it in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. One thing that has come up in all of this is, you know, the military is getting a big pay raise. At least that's proposed. The biggest pay raise in two decades. And it just, this is kind of an interesting note because it ties together a lot of different threads in the news that I don't think get tied together an awful lot. But 5.2% pay raise under the House Armed Services Committee draft of the NDAA for this year. And that'd be the highest in more than two decades, because they got a 6.9% in 2002. And, you know, other than that, it just hasn't been there by comparison. OK, the Biden administration proposed in the fiscal 2024, which matched a federal formula that ties military raises to growth in private sector wages. So it's a big pay raise. But of course, you ask the natural question, what's the rate of inflation? You know, like, they're getting more cash. Does that mean they're getting more spending power, right? Do they have more purchasing capacity? And the answer, as you heard there, is, well, no, not really. That's just keeping up with, you know, private sector wages, which are inflating due to a variety of causes. But it did lead me to look something up, which this is probably going to surprise some of you, but that's why I wanted to tell you. I was, you know, I have, of course, been tracking inflation and paying attention to that, and the Biden administration, I think, has done a pretty terrible job at that, certainly compared to the Trump administration. But do you know what inflation is right now? I mean, seriously, do you know what it is right now? Because it had been 7%, 7.5%, 8%, 8.5%, 8.5%, 9.1%, okay, in June of last year. Remember June of last year when, like, chicken prices were doubling and beef prices and gas prices were, you know, and gas is still ridiculously high, okay? But do you know what the current rate of inflation is? Last measure from April, 4.9%. It has come down from 9.1. Now, 4.9 is nothing to brag about. 4.9 is still terrible as an inflation rate, but it is almost 50% down since the peak of last June. Now, why is that? A lot of possibilities. You know, maybe the Fed raising interest rates has, you know, made it harder to borrow money, which has, you know, cut down on people. Right. That's one way. They're trying to clamp down on the economy and try to constrict it a little bit in order to, you know, get spending under control so that you have inflation gets under control. Our supply is opening back up. COVID ended. You know, there's a variety of things. Now, of course, the Biden administration is going to try to take great credit for this, saying that, you know, they spent us out of the inflation, or they solved this problem. And as a total package, I just think you have to be honest and say it was 9%. It's now 5%. I mean, of course, you know, under Trump, it was 1%. So, you know, it's like comparative, not so good. But always start with the facts. And the facts are that year over year inflation is down significantly since the peak of last year to about 5%. Still bad, not nearly as bad as it has been. The reason I was looking it up is because my first thought when I saw this pay raise for the military was 5% is below the rate of inflation at 7 or 8%. Well, it is as of, you know, a couple of months ago, but again, it's come down. And so this is about in line with the rate of inflation. 437-1620 is my phone number. Always feel free to text me, ask questions, disagree, say attaboy, whatever you want to do. We're always here. Oh, one small note. I got the coolest letter from Rick Scott today. Senator Rick Scott. And, you know, the senator periodically sends us letters for whatever reason. And I got the letter, and Candy, you can attest this. I said, oh, it looks like a letter from Rick Scott's office. I wonder what it's for. It wouldn't be thanking us for interviewing him. That's kind of unusual. No, he was congratulating us on the Murrow, the Regional Murrow Award.
How cool.
Saying that he appreciated us bringing light and attention to the agricultural, you know, prospects and economy of Northwest Florida. And so that's just a neat little note. So
you got to make a copy for
I know, I know. It's
yeah,
cool.
For
I
Ryan
love it.
Jenkins.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. 720 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's the history of the Blue Angels.
World War II was over. The United States military had defeated the Japanese due in large part to the combat and support waged by the U.S. Navy's finest aviators. Despite this, there were many high-ranking civilian and military officials who considered naval aviation unnecessary and thought it should be disbanded altogether. Nonetheless, on April 24, 1946, Admiral Chester Nimitz, Chief of Naval Operations, issued a directive that a flight exhibition team be organized within the Naval Air Advanced Training Command to represent the Navy at air shows and at similar events. Selected to organize the team was Lieutenant Commander Butch Voris, a World War II combat ace who participated in practically all the major air campaigns in the South Pacific. Voris would select his teammates from among combat veterans who were on active duty as instructors at the training command. He chose Lieutenant Commander Lloyd Barnard and Lieutenant Maurice Wickendall, who were his squadron mates during the war, plus Lieutenant J.G. Mel Cassidy to complete the four-man team. But Barnard received orders to Texas and was replaced by Lieutenant Al Taddeo before the first public performance. Based out of Cecil Field near Jacksonville, the team flew the Grumman F-6F Hellcat propeller-driven plane, which served them so well during the war. The Hellcat was a very responsive aircraft. Of critical importance was its inherent stability during inverted flight. The Hellcats used were basically the same aircraft flown in World War II, but with armaments and certain armor removed. The planes were painted blue overall. Yellow paint was used for the words U.S. Navy on both sides of the fuselage and for the plane's number on each side of the tail. The team trained for only a month before their first public performance at the Southeastern Air Show at Craig Field outside Jacksonville on June 15, 1946. The team's 17-minute routine consisted of combat maneuvers and three of the planes flying the V formation about 12 feet apart while rolling on each plane's individual axis. Altitude ranged from 10 to 2,800 feet. The fourth plane was used to demonstrate the Hellcat's capabilities in solo maneuvers. The pilots did not have special uniforms as they do today. They flew in their regular flight suits. In fact, the team did not even have a name. That was to come later. And how the name was selected is quite a story. I'll be back with more after this.
Hi, this is Pete Morgan of Service Matters Realty and Property Management. I am a 1981 graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, and I served 25 years in the U.S. Navy. As an aviator, I know what it takes to achieve the excellence that is required to fly with the Blue Angels. As a helicopter pilot, I flew support missions or Blue Angels air shows. The ethos of the Blue Angels and Service Matters Realty and Property Management are the same. Honor, courage, commitment. If you're looking to buy or sell or need property management, talk to us. ServiceMattersRE.com.
How the Blue Angels got their name, or should I say names, is the subject of our next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
New South proud!
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more tomorrow at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What is the one thing God will not forgive? After all, the Bible plainly explains that if we seek God's forgiveness, He will forgive sins such as lust, lying, and even murder. But the one sin that God will not forgive is the sin of unbelief. To refuse to believe in Jesus' virgin birth, or his sinless life, or his substitutionary death, or his resurrection from the dead, or to refuse to believe anything that the scripture declares about Jesus is to consign your own soul to an eternal hell. The good news of the gospel is a message of forgiveness of sin, but again, the one sin that God will not forgive is unbelief. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Informative news and talk. Local news and talk. And dependable news and talk. Now on the FM dial at 95.3.
What the mother father cocker spaniel's going on here?
Somebody can sound like they're swearing even when they're not. That's just Samuel L. Jackson's normal speaking voice.
It is. It's got to be, right?
Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I sure do. And this is brought to you by, hold on one second, Service Matters Realty. Accident just south of I-10. This is on Scenic Highway near the DQ. South lane is blocked. EMS is on scene. So slowing down a little bit. Another accident in Milton. This is on Highway 90 in Avalon near PSC and Grover Tees. But it looks like it's not blocking anything. Certainly, if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Police in Denver say 10 people are injured after a shooting that happened early this morning. Three of those victims reportedly in critical condition. This was after an altercation involving several individuals, and this was down the street from that arena where the NBA Finals were being held in Denver last night. Fed watchers expecting the Federal Reserve to stop raising interest rates for the first time in 11 policy meetings after their two-day meeting today and Wednesday. And former President Donald Trump expected back in New Jersey tonight after his historic arraignment in Miami this afternoon. He'll be flying back to his golf club in Bedminster, where he'll be giving remarks and hosting a campaign fundraiser. And in Miami, they're expecting 50,000 people outside of that courthouse today.
Yeah, a lot. And, you know, I think it was the sheriff. I'm not sure who the speaker was. I was kind of watching it this morning. I managed to catch it. But, you know, basically said, we're gonna make sure this is a safe environment.
Make no mistake about it. We're taking this this event extremely serious. We know that there is a potential of things taking a turn for the worst, but that's not the Miami way. Even though we're preparing, we're bringing enough resources to handle crowd anywhere from 5,000 to 50,000, we don't expect any issues.
Yeah, hopefully that is the case. Certainly we hope that is the case. I will say this. I'm not sure how much to care about Carrie Lake, former governor candidate in Arizona. You know, I mean, like, she didn't win, right? So, you know, she's not an elected official. But she did speak at a rally the other day, and this is what she had to say about all this. This made a lot of news for the, you know, in the sort of, like, Carrie Lake gets criticized for, Carrie Lake gets attacked for, Carrie Lake was wrong for. But here's what she actually said.
If you want to get to President Trump, you're going to have to go through me, and you're going to have to go through 75 million Americans just like me. And I'm going to tell you, yep, most of us are card-carrying members of the NRA. That's not a threat. That's a public service announcement.
Sounds like a threat to me. I'm just saying, it doesn't sound like a PSA to me.
She was in soft focus. It's not
that. It's all good. Dude,
what is with her?
Yeah, so number one, 75 million would be the votes that went for President Trump, right? Not all 75 million would be willing to, you know, take up arms in defense of the former president, just as a, you know, as a procedural note. Second, they're not all NRA card-carrying members, although I do agree that an awful lot of us own guns. And would, under the right circumstances, be willing to use them against a corrupt government. I mean, that's part of what the Second Amendment is about. It's not hunting and sporting and all that. Anyway, but this kind of implied, well, no insurrection, maybe. you know, it might be good red meat for the base at the rally. As the basis of public policy are the kind of things that somebody who wanted to be a candidate or was a candidate for Arizona governor, I think you have an obligation to not be so tacit or even overt in your endorsement of violence as the political solution for a situation that you disagree with. I'll put it that way. That's my mild version.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump will be arrested and fingerprinted in Miami this afternoon before a court appearance on federal criminal charges.
I'll just say not guilty. I didn't do anything wrong. Did nothing wrong. Presidential Records Act. It's not even a criminal event. There is no criminality here. It's ridiculous.
Former president on the Howie Carr radio show. He's accused of illegally retaining classified government records and lying about it. He plans to give a speech back at his summer home in New Jersey this evening. A 31-year-old triple murder suspect was arrested in central England.
Police in the city of Nottingham were called out just after 4 a.m. local time to find two people lying dead in a downtown street. They were quickly called to another incident where a van driver had tried to run over three pedestrians. A third body was discovered nearby.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Police haven't said anything yet about a possible motive. The Denver Nuggets win their first ever NBA title, beating Miami 4-1. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 74 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola.
Breaking news on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Just in this morning, two arrests have been made in that shooting on Jefferson and Government Streets in downtown Pensacola from over the weekend. A news release just in here in the newsroom says PPD served two search warrants at different houses yesterday in connection with that shooting. Officers arrested Rashawn Lamar Posey on attempted murder and aggravated assault charges and Warren Quinterall Graham for accessory after the fact on those same charges. PPD says that investigation is ongoing. As former President Donald Trump prepares for his arraignment in Miami today, city officials there say they're expecting protests and a large crowd, possibly even up to 50,000 people. But they say they're prepared no matter what happens.
We're bringing enough resources to handle crowd anywhere from 5,000 to 50,000. We don't expect any issues.
That is Miami's Police Chief Manny Morales, and officials say there will be enough law enforcement and other emergency crews on hand to handle everything, no matter how large it is. So far, officials say no credible threats have been made. Pensacola emergency officials say life jackets played a big role in three people being rescued in Pensacola Bay yesterday.
There was a boat that was anchored out and took on some waves as the seas got a little rougher and capsized.
And that is Pensacola Fire Chief Ginny Craner, who says that happened just before noon yesterday near Three Mile Bridge. And only 15 minutes later, those three people were on board a Pensacola fireboat and headed back to shore. Craner says initial reports that said two boats had collided were not accurate. Governor Ron DeSantis has announced $6.1 million in grant money that's going to go to support Florida's military communities. And our area is in line to receive a portion of that money. According to the governor's announcement, Santa Rosa County will be receiving $625,000 through two separate grants. One grant for $500,000, that one to facilitate a joint land use acquisition to protect NAS Whiting Field. Another $125,000 grant for maintaining relationships between installations and the community and assisting with identifying grant opportunities. Meanwhile, UWF will receive $460,000, and with those funds, they'll look to develop and verify the prototype system and control network on the Avon Park Air Force Range. Family and friends said goodbye to A.J. Owens. That's the Ocala woman that allegedly was shot and killed by her neighbor recently. Reverend Al Sharpton gave a eulogy yesterday for the 35-year-old mother of four.
We're not going to be quiet about it, and we're not going to apologize for standing up for it. We are not going away quietly. What happened here is wrong, and we come to stand with this family to call wrong wrong.
Investigators have said that shooting was the culmination of a 2.5-year feud between Owens and her neighbor, Susan Lawrence. Lawrence is charged with manslaughter, accused of shooting Owens through her locked front door. Lawrence claims it was self-defense. It is 735 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing?
Right now, Sheriff Chip Simmons getting ready to go on air. But the two accidents we are watching, there's one just south of I-10. It's on Scenic Highway, just south of the Dairy Queen. That south lane is blocked. EMS is on scene right now. Another accident on Highway 90. This is in Milton. It's 90 in Avalon, right near the Pensacola State College in Grover Tees. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing a chance of some afternoon showers and thunderstorms today. 40% chance of rain overall, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Wednesday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 75. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 76 right now. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, and 72 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Nearly a 250,000 vehicles built by Toyota, Kia, and Land Rover have been recalled over a range of issues, including the loss of brake power, taillight failure, and faulty airbags. Federal regulators issued recalls on 99,000 Kia Sportage SUVs, 96,000 Toyota Corolla Cross Hybrid SUVs, 13,000 Land Rover Range Rovers, and more than 29,600 Land Rover Discoveries. White House officials are hailing the unclogging of supply chains and suggesting further easing of bottlenecks will help cool inflation. The 1-2 punch of the pandemic and Russia's invasion of Ukraine brought fragile supply chains to the breaking point. That supply stress sent consumer prices surging, left some store shelves nearly empty, and severely delayed online shipping orders. But now many metrics show supply chains have largely recovered from recent shocks. On Wall Street, futures are modestly higher after stocks posted strong gains yesterday. That's Your Money Now.
It's summertime, and that means it's barbecue time. So for the best selection of meats, it's Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. From baby back ribs to Wagyu brisket, pork butts and shoulders, to chicken and all types of exotic meats to put on the grill. At Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, you'll find meat rubs and spices, as well as a large selection of fine wine, cheeses, and great deli items to add to your summer cookout fun. Call ahead for your sandwich pickups, too. Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. It's a great place to meet up and wine all you want. Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, on the west side of Pensacola.
Choosing an early education program is one of the most important decisions a parent can make. Make the choice that is right for your child and your family. Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel and join Ms. Keani Richardson, the director and owner of the Navarre Montessori Academy, as she answers questions. That's today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Before we get Sheriff Simmons, I just wanted to make a note. You know, we had this crash of a military helicopter that we're getting reports of. We don't know who it was. We don't even know what branch it was. A friend of mine who's, a military parent, right? Okay. And talking about, like, holding her breath, you know, not sure what's, you know, who's involved. And it kind of struck me in a way that I had never thought about it quite before, but it affects every military parent until you know who it is. And that waiting, that uncertainty, that anxiety, and then even when you do know who it is, even if it wasn't your child, it's so, you know, these things are hard for an awful lot of people. And so, you know, while we're waiting for information, while they're waiting for information, keep them in your prayers as well. 740 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Chip Simmons is the sheriff in Escambia County. He always joins us on a Tuesday at this time. Chip, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to have you. The big story, of course, in the last day was this home invasion on Majors Road. If people don't know where that is, if they know where Hancock is by Brown Barge Middle School, then you go across the tracks to the west on the south side of Hancock there before you get to Old Palafox, right in that vicinity. So kind of an old part of that part of town, not a particularly affluent part of town. If you've seen the pictures of this home, it's obviously not a very well-to-do home. But what happened here?
You got pictures. You have five hoodlums. Decide they're going to go to that location. First, they went to the house behind it. There's a small dwelling behind on the same property. They actually get in that home, and they ask the man there. They're asking for money. They're demanding, where's the money? Where's the money?
And this is late at night, right?
Money. Yeah, early in the morning.
Okay.
Yes. I think about 2:30 in the morning. And then they actually hit him with a weapon, causing him harm, not in life-threatening injuries. And they leave that that dwelling, and they go to the front trailer. You can see in the pictures that we've put out, they do have hoods on, but I think you can see them. We are pretty confident that someone knows who these hoodlums are. They're carrying guns, and they fire a couple times. One goes through the door and actually hits the dog. The dog's gonna be okay, but it hits the dog. How brazen are these idiots to just come around and just demand entry and try to kick the door in first, and then they fire into the door. They're there for a reason. They think that there's something in this home, either the one behind it or the one, you know, the trailer in the front. So we're asking people that in the neighborhood, they're asking people to look at these pictures. You're going to know who they are. They're easily identifiable to me, because if you know one, you probably know them all.
Right.
You know, these guys are acquaintances. These thieves are running together, and you can see the guns in their hand. You know, and people have called me up and talked to me and said, if they come to my house, don't worry about it. And honestly, I feel the same way. Don't come to my house like this. That's not going to end well for you.
Do we have any guess on ages?
Well, they look to be teens. They look to be all black males, and all I would say that they're probably from 16 to 19 years old.
Okay.
You know, school's out. I don't know if they're school kids or not, but we'll have the answers. I haven't talked to my investigators this morning, but they are on it. Obviously, we take these things very serious, and we hope that the community takes these things very serious. These people need to be in jail, and if they are juveniles, I hope that the judges keep them in jail until they end up going to prison.
Now, I know that none of this would there's certainly no justification for any of this, but we always kind of wonder, well, is there any reason to believe that the homeowner was engaged in behavior that would invite this? Because you and I talk a lot that there's, you know, there's domestic violence, there's unprovoked criminal activity, and then there's criminal activity dealing with other criminals. You know, people go to rob drug houses, people go to settle beefs, all this kind of stuff. Based on what I saw in the interview with the guy, I mean, I wouldn't think anything like that is going on. But you tell me, is there any reason to think that anything like that was happening in this home or on this property that would sort of explain this?
Well, and again, our investigators are looking into all parts of it. I think that the victim in the first one, the 70-year-old man, was like, they were looking for something. They felt like something was there, money was there. And what we normally look at is why there? Why did they go to this location?
Right.
You know what? It doesn't seem random to me. Now, again, could it be a mistaken location? They went there twice. They were pretty serious about it. I find it highly coincidental if they weren't looking for something specific. And again, it may just be money. Maybe there was a beef of some sort, as you mentioned.
I thought the allegation he had made was he thinks that somebody hired them to do this or something like that. You know, so I don't know what to make of all that, but it didn't seem to me like they're just randomly driving down Hancock and decide, well, this is the place that we want to go
assault.
Yeah,
this particular location, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean, there were cars. You can see there's a bunch of cars parked out front, and I believe the victim does some car work. But they're not trying to steal cars.
Right.
They're trying to get inside. And again, I guess if you look at it, they did contact the first gentleman in the house behind theirs, and they were asking for money. they don't just go to random houses asking for money. There's something to that, and our investigators aren't naive. They're going to look into all of that.
Right.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong going on. I'm just telling you from my experience. You don't just, like you said, at 2:30 in the morning, you don't randomly just say, hey, this is the house. You know, that's not how it works.
So for people that, you know, they see something like this, and it's pretty scary to imagine, because, of course, what you naturally think is, well, that could have been my house. For all I know, you know, could have been my house. The basic things that you recommend, I assume, are, you know, be armed, pay attention, have security cameras, don't open the door for people that you don't know, right? All this stuff.
Well, and I just want to make sure people are clear. We're on this. Our investigators have been on this since it happened. And again, we don't know every young man in Escambia County, but we do know. I am certain that someone recognized. There's one of them didn't even wear a mask. And again, once you know the one, then you're going to know the others that you're hanging around with. So we're obviously doing our crime scene with fingerprints and that sort of thing, and you know we're doing all the investigation that we possibly can, you know, including going toward their neighbors and see if there's some more video that we might be able to get where they get into or out of a car. And again, we're going to do all that stuff. I'm pretty confident we'll have them identified unless they're out of town. They don't look to be out of town. They're probably local kids. And here's the thing. This isn't their first one. You don't take a gun. You don't try to kick a door, and you don't shoot into a door as your first, foray into criminal activity.
Right.
But here's what we're going to do. We're going to find them. We're going to arrest them, and I hope they go to jail for decades, because this is very dangerous. And you know, we talk a lot about what's going on in Escambia County, and I can tell you, we had a round table yesterday that we were talking about just before I got here.
Can you hold on for just a second? Because I want to spend some time on this. It's important. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Let's get Candy here with Traffic on the Fives.
Okay, watching an accident. This is on a scenic highway, kind of close to the Dairy Queen, right there near I-10. And it looks like a south lane is blocked. The EMS is still on the scene. Light at North W in Massachusetts is going way too fast. And we're asking if they can fix it. And an accident on 90 in Avalon near PSC and Grover Tees, but not a roadblock, not tying things up. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Sheriff Simmons. You were at a roundtable yesterday in Panama City where Jim Petronas was there, Senator Scott was there, talking with other law enforcement about these kinds of things, right?
Yeah, we had 18 law enforcement agencies. They traveled from Central Florida all the way, obviously, from the Panhandle, and then we met at Bay County Sheriff's Office. Senator Scott was really just wanting a little roundtable to ask how he can help, how the federal government can help. And then Jimmy Petronas was there just discussing about the financial state of the state of Florida, because there were some small counties, some rural counties that operate almost solely on grants, and so they were talking a lot about grant work. But the reason I bring it up is because Leon County was discussing, they had four shootings over the weekend. While we had this, we didn't have the four shootings over the weekend. And a lot of them are asking what we're doing, because a lot of stuff that we're doing is working, quite honestly. We do have, I will tell you that our violent crime and our nonviolent crime is down for like the third, fourth year in a row. But you still have people like this. We still have criminals that act like they don't have to obey the law. And so once we can get these individuals off the streets, once we can get them in prison, then Escambia County will be a much safer place. And we need to all work together. Again, we don't see everybody. We don't know everyone. But someone in the community knows these people. And I'd be very disappointed if someone doesn't call Crime Stoppers or someone doesn't call us and say, you know what, I can't allow our neighborhoods. I can't allow these kids to be just terrorized. Because if they're going to do it to this neighborhood, they're going to do it to their own neighborhood. They've been doing it probably for years. And our number one priority is to get these criminals off the street.
You know, you tell me if I've got this analysis wrong, but I remember when it's a bit of a comparison, but you know, when 9/11 happened, we learned that, you know, terrorism doesn't come except where there's a place where they learn to be terrorists, right? Where they learn and are tolerated, Afghanistan, obviously. And it seems to me like it's kind of a similar problem where you don't have gangs like this, you know, and I don't mean that in the official legal sense of a gang, but, you know, five people coordinated attack with guns, that's a gang. That doesn't happen unless they have a safe haven of some kind, you know, people who know them and put up with this and allow this and could report them and don't. And so until that problem goes away, you're going to have this kind of bad behavior. And so getting those people to cooperate, like you say, that's at the heart of solving these problems.
And we talk about that even at our roundtable. You know, I gave the stats. I said, this is what's having, you know, if we're worried about shootings, let's find out why we're having shootings. We're having shootings because of money. We're having shootings because of guns and drugs. And we're having shootings because of domestic violence. So let's target those things. Let's not say, oh, my gosh, the whole world is crumbling, because that's not taking place. But we're allowing, as you alluded to, allowing these kids like this to run. And you know what? The worst thing they could have wanted, as if I cared about what they want, the worst thing they want is their pictures to be posted all over our Facebook page and all over the media and us talking about it. Because now the people that haven't seen it can go to our Facebook page, hopefully, and take a look at it.
Right.
And these school kids are on Facebook. They know who this is. And that's
somebody's going to learn there's Crime Stoppers money.
there's money. And you know, really the right thing to do. You look at it and say, you know what, that's my friend, or I know that person, but that person needs to go to jail.
We're just about out of time. We always seem to run out of time too quickly, but I did want to give a moment to say, you know, how is the deputy doing that was injured in the escort right. The other day?
He's doing okay. He has a broken ankle, and by broken, I mean it's broken, and so he's going to need surgery, but he's going to be fine. He's in high spirits. He understands that these things happen, and I spoke to him at the hospital, him and his wife, and, you know, he understands that you know, that things like this do happen, but he's going to be back to work as soon as he can, and we certainly appreciate the outpouring of support from everyone, really, because again, we talk about this, you know, we're after these hoodlums, because we have deputies, men and women at the sheriff's office that are willing to stop these people. I mean, they're going to find them, and they're going to go and they're going to seek them out, and if they try to run, they're going to stop them, they're going to ram the car. We're going to do what we can to stop them and get them and put them behind the bars.
And he was, by the way, in case people aren't familiar, he was injured on a motorcycle when he was accompanying a bus, as escorts often do, just, you know, on 9 Mile, if I remember correctly,
right.
While they were clearing an intersection. Also, a little bit of a good news note, you just had your first training class for in-house training for law enforcement officers. That's just kicked off, right?
Yeah, we talked a lot about our own training academy. That allows us the flexibility to start one when we need it. We have 21 members of our very first class. There's a photograph of on our Facebook page of the 21 with a couple of us, and the reason we're doing it is because it has started. You know, we talked about it. Gunnick's going to start. We talked about how great it's going to be, how much time it's going to save. But now it's started. They're in week one, and I harken back to my own days and my first week in rookie school. I mean, now I'm learning how to handcuff somebody. We have to run a little bit. We have to, you know, we have to learn a lot. We have tests all the time, and you have to learn the rules. You have to learn about, you know, where everything is in the facility. So we're obviously very proud of the staff. I'm super proud of what they've accomplished in such a short time to have our own academy. And again, if you want to see a good looking group of men and women that want to serve their community, go up on our Facebook page and take a look at those 21. Just you can see the sense of pride in their in their eyes.
And nobody's putting shoe polish on the bullhorn, though, right? Like
no. It's not that kind of police academy.
Is there a tackleberry?
It's a different thing.
Last thing, we always like to end with a safety tip. Do you have a safety tip for folks this week?
Yeah, I think a safety tip kind of related to what we were seeing and what we're talking about. And this is for parents who want to know if their children are doing the wrong thing. If your children are showing up with different cars every day, if there's a car that's parked out there that you don't know where it came from, if you're hanging around with people that show up with different cars, those cars are stolen and they're up to no good. And if you don't want your children to escalate into what we're seeing on Facebook, then you need to have that conversation with them. Or maybe you have that conversation with us. Because almost every shooting, in fact, I'll say every shooting that we see is done by the use of a stolen automobile, a stolen car. And they're hiding these cars somewhere. They're stealing cars. They're going through and looking for keys. And some people, strangely enough, leave keys and guns in their car. And they take those cars. And then they use those cars if they're going to do some sort of criminal endeavor. And so my tip of the week is that if you're a parent and you wonder if your child is on the wrong path, if they have different cars in their driveway, if they have different cars, if people pulling up with them, and you don't know who they are, they're on the path. You need to be leery about that.
That's a great awareness tip. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff, as always, sir. Thank you for the time. Thanks for the information, and thanks for keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
754 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
When was the last time you experienced something new? Really new? Like driving an electric vehicle that will change how you think about EVs. Test drive the 2023 Volkswagen ID4 EV at Beadmore Imports and see the smooth aerodynamic design that is so modern and sleek, you'll think you've driven into the future. And the quiet and powerful ride it delivers needs to be experienced to be believed. So stop by Beadmore Imports to experience something new, like never before. And Beadmore Imports fills out their lineup of SUVs and crossovers with the 2023 Taos S, now from $24,999, the Tiguan S from $27,999, and the VW Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology from $39,999. And with finance rates as low as 1.9% available on the Tiguan and Taos, there's something new for every driver at Beadmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Beadmore Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tag, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take out the stress and cost of healthcare. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the Astronauts will be rocking the Gulfside Pavilion at Bands on the Beach with their high-energy party tunes from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Dance the night away at Pensacola Beach with Bands on the Beach. Remember, no pets and no glass.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
But Father, I'm alive, see? I'm real. I'm a real boy!
Maybe this is one of those days where, maybe not, today's okay, but you tell me, traffic on the 5 is one of the days where we wish we had a metro.
Right? I know. We do need one here, right? Again, just a couple of things to watch out for. One, Avalon and Highway 90 in Milton near PSC, but it looks like it has been moved off to the side, not showing any slowdowns or delays. Taking a look at 90 just south of I-10, it looks like that's been cleared up as well. So caution there and wherever you are, 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them in, and thank you. News Radio 92.3 and 4. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. Now into the newsroom. David Wayne's got our headlines. David?
Testimony continuing today in the Capitol murder trial of accused Tree of Life synagogue shooter Robert Bowers. Yesterday, jurors heard more testimony about firearms and ammunition collected at the scene and heard testimony on Bowers' social media activity prior to the shooting. He's accused of murdering 11 people at a Pittsburgh synagogue in October 2018. And actor Treat Williams has died at 71. Williams was the star of Everwood and Hair. He died yesterday in a motorcycle crash. With over 120 credits to his name, his career spanned decades across both TV and movies.
Thanks so much, David. 437-1620. Interesting story coming out of the gaming universe. Everybody's heard of Call of Duty. I mean, I don't know if Call of Duty, I've played Call of Duty some. My boys are really into that. It's one of the games that they played a lot of. Well, Call of Duty is having a call for boycotts against it by gamers in the system. Here's why. One of the highest profile Twitch streamers, YouTube streamer, a guy named Nick Kolchev, who goes by Nick Mercs, mm-hmm. He's got 4 million subscribers. He tweeted some kind of support for, you know, not having rainbow stuff in the schools after the Glendale altercation, Glendale, California. And as a result of that, Activision took his skins off the market. That skin is like the specialized appearance you can buy from people that they've designed. So they took his skin off the market. And another major Twitch streamer, a guy named Tim Batar, who goes by Tim the Tatman, and my sons are like, oh, Tim the Tatman. And Nick, and they're like, this is big. So people are saying boycott over the LGBT stuff at Activision.
Fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.